more spoke to my soul, reminded me he had control. I said, this time his words were meant for me. And sometimes he calms me. Sometimes the storm still rages on, but I feel the sweetest peace. It's such a joy to know that my Lord knows just what I need. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms me. Circumstances may overtake and bring me to my knees, but when I feel I cannot cope with this life's troubled seas, I call on him whose voice can still much greater storms than these. His words bring peace into my soul. Says to me, child, I'm in control, and with one touch he calms the storm in me. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms me. Sometimes the storm still rages on, but I feel the sweetest peace. It's such a joy to know that my Lord knows just what I need. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms me. It's such a joy to know that my Lord knows just what I need. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he
And have your Bibles this morning in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13. There in verse number 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot and blemish. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. Which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, so they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye then these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we just ask you to help us as we preach the word. Ask you to make us an able minister of the word of God, that you speak to our hearts, I pray, and help us this morning, each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the thought of growing in grace. Growing in grace. And we know the Bible tells us that we are, amen, we're saved by the grace of God. And amen. And grace, what is grace? It is the unmerited favor of God. Amen. We can tell people and define it that way and tell them that it's the unmerited favor of God. And we can see grace in our own lives. And you know, and we've heard people say that, how did you make it? And you say, well, simply by the grace of God. Amen. And that is true. And we see and feel and know as Christians from time to time, we really know the grace of God in our lives. Amen. We see it. But when we talk about that grace and we say, well, it's the unmerited favor of God, but there's much about it that we can't just put our finger on and explain it. When we tell somebody, amen, well, I made it by God's grace, that's about all we can say. We can't really understand how we made it. God helped us. It was by God's grace we were able to endure, to overcome whatever the situation may or may not have been, but it was by the grace of God. And amen. And as we go and grow in grace, amen. But there's some things about this that we read these other verses leading up to this. But we are told to grow in grace. Now, to grow, we know what that means. It means to enlarge in stature. In a natural sense, amen, we grow. And, you know, we see plants. You plant them and they grow. Trees, they grow. Amen, we have little ones and, amen, they grow up and we grow. And sometimes when we think that we're grown, amen, we stop growing up and we start growing out. So we know what it is to grow. But are we growing in grace? In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 13 speaks to us about this, and all these things are leading up to what he's going to tell us in verse 17 and 18. He says in verse 17 and 18, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Amen. And then he says in verse 18 that we but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, he starts in verse number 18 and he tells us there that we should be looking for new. Looking for the new. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Abraham was looking for something new. The Bible tells us that he was looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And so, amen, when him and Lot was there and he told Lot, he said, Lot, the whole land is before us. And he said, you choose, and whichever way you go, I'll go the other. Because see, Abraham knew as he was looking around and he was looking at all those things, amen, what he was ultimately looking for wasn't anywhere out there on them plains. It wasn't there. That wasn't it. Amen. And he was trusting God to give. Abraham was looking for something that was new. Amen. It was brand new. Amen. God help us. I know, because it's so easy. We get to looking around in this life and we get to looking for things that are new in this life. But you know what? They just don't last. Amen. We buy new automobiles and new toys of whatever the sort may be. Amen. You know, we can buy these kids some toys, but whenever we get older, our toys get more expensive. But you know what? They still wear out. Amen. You have to work on them. You have to fix them. But we think sometimes, boy, if we could just get that or that new. That. But listen, it's not the things that we see that's going to remain. The Bible tells us it's those things that we cannot see that are eternal. And we, amen, need to be looking for those things which are new. Amen. We need to be looking for the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We spend a lot of time looking around at stuff. But amen, God help us. What about looking up? What about looking up? Amen. So he says there in verse 13, looking, amen, for new heaven and new earth. He said in that last part, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteousness. Amen. What a place that righteousness actually dwells. He said, be looking for it. Be looking for it. You know what looking for something like that will do? Amen. It'll change you.
Amen. I can remember as a kid, and I've probably told y'all this before, grandma and granddaddies are coming. Amen. And we knew approximately what time they was going to be arriving. You know, it was about a 2-hour trip. And we would know about what time, and us youngins would get out on the porch, and we'd stand looking down at the driveway across the way. We could see it, and we'd play a little game. We'd stand out there, and we'd guess. They're going to be the fifth car. It's going to be them. And amen, we'd take 3 guesses, and when we all got it wrong, we'd start over and do it again. But amen, what it was, there was an anticipation. There was an anticipation. Amen. Looking for them, for the new, looking for that coming. Amen. Some of you husbands has been here in this boat. The wife is gone for a week, and they go, and they're gone for a week, and it's Friday morning, and all of a sudden, or Thursday night, and you realize Friday that, amen, well, she's going to be home tomorrow. And you look around, and you say, I probably need to tidy up some things. Why? Amen, because you're anticipating her arrival. Amen, when we begin to look for the new things, the new heaven, the new earth, for that place which dwells righteousness, amen, it changes even the way that we go about living our lives. Amen. And it helps us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That verse also tells us, looking for what? Looking for righteousness. Now you can look around in this world, you're not going to find a lot of it. You don't see that. That's not what men are living for. They're not living for righteousness. But amen, most in this hour that we live are living for self. And as long as it promotes self, then okay. But he said we're looking for righteousness. Amen. Purity of heart. The conformity of heart and life to God's law, to the divine law. Amen. Righteousness. Listen, when we begin to look for righteousness, when we begin to look to conform our lives to the law of God and not to the ways of the world, amen, we'll grow in grace. We'll grow in grace. But he says in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let us be pure. Let us be pure. Yeah. We're looking for him. Who are we looking for? Listen, it's not just that the wife's coming home and we need to tidy up some few things. Amen. Guess what? Jesus is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. When? I don't know. But he's coming. How do you know? Because he said so. And amen, everything that he has told us in his word is true. And he is coming. And so let us be pure that we may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. Is that us? Are we there? Is that what we desire to be? Some folks, you know, I've heard them say, I know I'm not perfect. I just ain't going to worry about it. I ain't going to try. I mean, is that the attitude that Christian folks should have? Listen, do I have to deal with this old sinful flesh? I do. Listen, it lives with me every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Amen. It is with me. But amen, that does not give me an excuse for me to seek God's grace, that God might help me to grow into grace and to live up to that spiritual man that's on the inside and put down and mortify the deeds of this old flesh. I mean, we could go, and I thought about it this way. 1941. If any baseball fans is in the house, Ted Williams was the last baseball player that had a batting average at the end of a complete baseball season of 400 or better. It just don't happen. 1941! Man, that's been a long time. 1941. But you know what? I wouldn't want to be playing with a bunch of players, major leaguers that would just say, I can't do that, I ain't even going to try. Listen, when they step up to the plate, you know what they're doing? I mean, they're trying to hit it. Now, amen, they may not succeed, but I tell you what they've done. They put in many hours and practice and working. They're doing everything that they can, amen, that when it comes their time, amen, that they can contribute and get a hit. There's only been one professional football team, 1972, the Miami Dolphins, perfect season, perfect record. They did not lose a game. It's never been done before nor since. Well, amen. Well, does a team go onto the field and say, well, you know, we ain't going to try to win every game. But listen, but yet I've seen folks and Christian folks get to the place where, you know, they say, well, I know I ain't perfect, so I just ain't going to worry about it. God help me. Yeah, I'm not perfect and I do have to deal with this. But amen, God has told me in His Word, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. How in the world can I do that? I'm going to have to grow in grace. Amen, it's going to be by the grace of God because I recognize my weakness, but amen, but I recognize His strength. And so we grow in grace. And so He speaks there in verse 14. And then verse number 15, it tells us an account that the long-suffering of God is salvation, even as our own beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. See, long-suffering leads to salvation. Romans 2 and 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Regarding God's delay in judgment, it don't mean that it's not coming. It don't mean that judgment is not coming. Amen. That God has said it, but boy, it's been so long that I think we can just forget about it. He said what we should account that long-suffering of God, because the Bible said that He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Just think if He wasn't long-suffering with you. We've been looking on Wednesday night in the book of Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 through 3 describes the believer before they believed. And it tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. It tells us, amen, that we live in those trespasses and sins, and we were the enemy of God. But you know what? Why are we saved? Because God didn't come to us when we was living in verse 1 through 3. And say, psh, and send judgment. He was long-suffering to us. Amen. And amen. And verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Amen. And He's still rich in mercy and He's long-suffering. But amen, don't count the long-suffering of God as slackness. Because see, listen, not one of God's promises has ever failed. And listen, you can take, I mean, the Bible. Well, you believe the Bible? I do. Ever from cover to cover. Amen. Every word. Well, why do you believe the Bible? Well, I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it when it says that God cannot lie. There's other reasons that I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible because, amen, the Jewish nation is still a nation. And you can look back at their history and people just don't get dispersed all over the world, don't even have a place to call home, and yet years later come back and find, amen, that they're still a Jewish nation because when they were dispersed all over the world, you know what they recognized as? They were Jews. Wherever they were, that's what they were. That just don't happen. It usually don't take me just a few years, and whatever the population, whoever overtakes that country, everybody just simulates into one country. Not so with the Jews. Why? God made them some promises. He's going to keep them. I mean, the very Scriptures itself, the very Word of God, written in three different languages on three different continents over a period of maybe 1,500 years by 29 authors, I believe. And guess what? It all agrees. I couldn't get y'all to write an article today and everybody agree on it. Man, when you hand, if I give you an article on one subject and said, write me a 1 or 2 page article, amen, they would not all agree together. Yet the Bible was written over 1,500 years, 3 different continents, 3 different languages. Amen. It was written by kings and it was written by fishermen. And yet, it agrees. How can that be? Because God. And therefore, don't count the long suffering of God when God's long suffering. And you say, well, God ain't forgot. He's just not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then he says in verse number 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Listen, there's many folks that twist things to their own hurt. And we've all could probably think of 1 or 2 that has turned into actual cults. And boy, they got some beliefs. You know what they used? You know what book they used to try to justify their cult? They used the Bible. They take and they twist things. And Peter here refers not to necessarily to the difficulties of understanding what Paul meant, but to the difficulties of comprehending the great truths that he taught. Listen, he taught some great truths, and it's hard for us sometimes to reconcile some of those things. And I'll be honest with you, when we start thinking about some of the things of God, amen, and the God being a Trinity, amen, and we try to describe it, and we try to teach and tell, but amen, but it's what the Bible teaches. How do we wrap our hands around all that? Amen, we may not be able to. There's other aspects of the Scripture and things that people wrestle over, but God help us this. Amen. Know that God is God. And amen, we're not. If God said it, amen, we can take it to the bank. It's true. We grow in grace, and God helps us. As we grow in grace, we understand more and more what God is trying to say and what God's trying to teach us through His Word. Listen, there's some things that about the Bible, and I don't know if it's been like this for you, but it has for me. There's been some things as I read the Bible, and it still happens, and thank God it does, that I'll read, and I'll go back, and I'll read that again. Because all of a sudden, amen, it's almost like, you know, you're digging for gold, and you're panning for gold, and amen, you've been panning in that spot for a week, for a month, for a year. But amen, one day, amen, you pick that pan up and you're looking around and hey, you look again. And amen, right there where you've been panning for a long time, there's a nugget that for some reason it's escaped you. You had never seen it just like that. And God gives it to us, amen, as we grow in grace. Amen, as we grow in grace. He tells us in verse number 17, amen, is a reminder for this in that last part of the verse. It is that we be steadfast. That we be steadfast. Fast. Believers must be constant on guard against the dangers of error and the enemy that would seek to steal, kill, and to destroy. There will always be false teachers. They always have been. They always will be until God takes us, amen, out of here. God help us that we stay on guard, that we be steadfast, that we be rooted and grounded, and amen, not be swept away or carried away, but amen, that we stand firm. When everybody else is saying something different. You know, Elijah, when they went up there to have the contest, who went with him? I think he went by himself, didn't he? Didn't it say that Baal had 450 prophets? He wanted them to decide who God was. You see, the majority may rule, but the majority is definitely not always right. Amen. And in the economy of God, God rules. And God is always right. Amen. And He tells us to be steadfast. And then He tells us in verse number 18 that He mentioned there in verse 17, knowing these things, all of these things, We see all of these things and looking for new things and looking for righteousness and that we ought to be pure and that we see the long suffering of God and we don't need to twist the scriptures to our own hurt and we need to be steadfast. And he tells us in verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing is something that we've all done. We've been little, babies. Mama and Daddy had to take us and feed us and care for us and bring us up and get us, you know, that so we could make it to childhood and through the teenage years and into adulthood, we grow. And that's the way that it is in the spiritual world. Amen. God has for us that we might grow. And he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, true knowledge is not some kind of deep information concerning some kind of form or some kind of formula, some kind of rite or some kind of ritual. It's not some kind of secret order or secret password or code. But it is to know Jesus Christ as he is revealed to us in the Word of God. And this is the secret of life of the Christian and for us in our Christian lives. The Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter number 17, in verse number 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do we know Jesus? And if we know Jesus this morning, are we growing in the grace and the knowledge, of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Because growing in grace and knowledge happens by a better relationship with Jesus. When we commune with Him, when we talk with Him, when we read the Bible, when we study the Scriptures, when we pray, amen, we become into a better relationship and amen, we grow in grace. Sometimes when we go through difficulties in life, it's a good time, a good place where we can grow. But the Bible said grow in grace. Get bigger, get stronger in the grace of God, in the grace and knowledge to know Jesus better and better. God help us this morning that we as a church family can grow. Because see, growth is gradual. Now then, when we look around and we see these kids and we say, boy, you're growing like a weed. And weeds do seem to outgrow everything else. But growth is gradual. And it's day by day, but God expects us and He tells us and He encourages us to grow. And everything Peter was telling them, he was urging them on to a closer walk with God and a better knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they might grow in grace, that they would be stronger, that they would be better able to stand against the enemy, and that they might know the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That their joy might be full. He said, grow. Grow. So we stand this morning, God wants us to grow in that grace and in that knowledge. And I pray this morning, if you just bow with us, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you need prayer this morning while we wait, just a minute. Amen. We'll give you an opportunity to come and we'll pray. Whatever the need may be while we wait just a minute.